Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by Third Wave Water. Do you ever wonder why the coffee you make at home never tastes as good as the coffee you buy at the coffee shop? Well, here's the secret. Coffee shops spend thousands of dollars to make the perfect water for making coffee, and now for as little as 10 cents a cup, you can duplicate the magic at home. Third Wave Water has a patent-pending formula of minerals that, when added to a gallon of distilled water, makes coffee brewing magic. Recently at the U.S. Brewers Cup Championship, the first and second place finishers brewed their coffee with Third Wave Water. Check out their website at thirdwavewater.com. Use the promo code SAINTS for 10% off your first order. And guys, if you're thinking about buying, buy this week, because this is the last week of their month trial sponsorship. So go there, use the code SAINTS, 10% off. Buy yourself some Third Wave Water and tell them that you love the Saints Happy Hour Podcast and they should re-up for the whole rest of the football season. Go to thirdwavewater.com. They're awesome. They support us, so you should support them. It was glorious Sunday, Andrew. It was fucking... I think you texted me that it was Saints erotica. It was. It literally... couldn't have gone any better. They benched Cam Newton in the last 4 minutes.
And waving the white flag.
Waved the white flag. Said no mas. Andrew, I don't even know where to fucking start. Why don't you kick it off for us?
Yeah, I mean, it was vintage Sean Payton, vintage Saints. You know, obviously the defense was the main thing that I think we didn't expect. And obviously, when they play like that, the Saints have a chance to beat anyone. But I think when you look at the stat sheet, you know, the reason I say it's vintage, I mean, you look at, you know, Michael Thomas, especially early in the game, had a lot of touches. And, you know, he certainly had the most stats. But if you look at the rushing, I mean, very balanced. Kamara had the big run, but Ingram was kind of the bell cow. But Peterson contributed. And they had a couple under rounds with Tommy Lee and with Ginn that worked. And then, you know, if you look at the stat sheet with receivers, after Thomas, it was just littered with everybody having two or three catches and contributing. And Ginn had the big touchdown, and Coleman had a touchdown, and Fleener had a big catch. So that's how the Saints operate. You know, no one necessarily has huge stats, but they spread the ball around, and they get the mismatches, and they hurt you in different ways, and they keep you guessing. And so... when the offense is playing like that, they're tough to beat.
Dave, obviously the Saints surprised the shit out of everybody.
I
mean, at the beginning, at the beginning of the game, it's even though the Saints, they went down, you know, Carolina had a field goal, Cam Jordan sort of saved them, got the sack, and the Saints went down and scored, but Carolina went down and drove down the length of the field again, and Ken Crawley made a nice tackle, and it was 7-6. But it was kind of like, it's the same old thing. Defense is sucking, and it's just a matter of time. And then it just turned, and the Saints basically stomped their ass in for the next three quarters, except for one drive. I mean, why the fuck hasn't Ken Crawley been playing? I mean...
I don't know.
Like, I mean...
Isn't it funny, too, that... they play their best game when they don't even have Lattimore. This is like, you know, we could... I don't believe this, of course, but, you know, remember when it used to be Reggie Bush and Pierre Thomas and like Aaron Stecker or whatever, and Bush would get injured, and they'd be like, "See, it's better when Bush is not playing."
Yeah. So the nice guys at Black and Gold, one of them had a. The Saints are going to play good defense because it's going to be they're going to play the Netflix defense that Cam Newton is going to have so many options to throw to. He's going to be overwhelmed and confused and not know what to do. You know, it's like Netflix. You have 6,000 choices, and you can't make up your mind.
Well, but anyway, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Didn't I say that like last week or week one or whatever? I said if there was one guy that I'd like. I think you asked if there was one guy that they would just give a chance to, and I said Ken Crawley, and we all agreed, of course. And so I'm glad to see they give him a chance. But you know, I think the Saints they got lucky in certain ways. I mean, obviously Greg Olsen wasn't playing, and I think Cam Newton, who he was listed as questionable, and he was obviously
dealing. He did not look right.
Yeah, he was. Obviously dealing with something, and then during the game the Panthers lose Thomas Davis, who is that's huge for them
Benjamin,
on defense.
Benjamin,
and then they lose Kelvin Benjamin. Yeah,
and their best guard Trey Turner, along with yeah. the guy the other I think either the center one of the Khalils was out. I think.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know,
ask me if I give a shit though, Dave. Ask me if I give a shit. I don't.
The Saints are missing two offensive linemen. Yeah. They're missing Willie Snead. They're missing three of their top four corners. So
I
mean, it's not like every team in the league isn't dealing with this.
I hear you. But anyway, so they also got lucky. But you know, look, turnovers. The Marcus Williams interception. I mean, that was just a play. I mean,
is that the best Saints interception? That might be the best Saints interception I've ever seen. As not as like significance, but as like just. The catch itself, that shit was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm and you know what?
Off the top of my head, I remember Will Herring. Remember that interception he had in the end zone against the Giants?
Oh, yeah.
That was sick.
He was kind of like diving backwards, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was like falling backwards?
Yes. But this was on par with that.
I totally forgot about that interception.
Well, going back to, getting some good breaks. I mean, Luke Kuechly should have intercepted that ball. I mean, that was
six, and it was 24-13 at that point, right?
That would have been a game changer. And that's just the nature of football. You got to get lucky certain times, and that's vintage Saints too. I mean, that was the kind of stuff that happened in 2009. You know, it was just the ball more often than not bounced their way.
Yeah, I mean...
The main thing I would say is that this is once again proof to me. I mean, you look at the stats that Breeze... Win or lose, Breeze kind of always consistently puts up great stats. When Cam Newton loses main playmakers and his offensive line gets banged up and he starts to get hit, this is how he plays. Like, I've seen this before where when he starts to... When he's got all his weapons and his offensive line is healthy and he's feeling good, he's an MVP caliber player. But when you start to strip away the offense and they get banged up and he gets banged up from the hits he's taking, I mean, I think he's awful. And you compare that to Breeze, when this stuff happens to Breeze, and he's just rock solid. And, it's just the reality that I just feel like you pair Cam Newton with the Saints defense and his career. Like, if he was drafted by the Saints and he's played – up until now with this Saints defense, he would no longer be in the league. His career would be over. That's how bad he would be paired with the Saints defense. And Breeze just keeps chugging along. And to me, that's once again clear evidence of just how much better Breeze is and how unfair it is that he's had to be stuck with this defense that has held him back for so long.
The thing that was quietly amazing, and I mentioned it in my column, is Breeze only threw for 220 yards, and if you take out the 40-yard pass to Ginn, he was like 21-28 for 180 yards and two touchdowns. That's like game manager quarterback, and I'm not knocking it.
That's 2009.
Yeah, I mean it's
nice when you have a running game.
Yeah.
Wait, I have one other. The Saints got lucky. because Ted Ginn decided to catch the ball.
Actually, Ted Ginn, he struggles with easy catch. Like, if he'd have been, like, wide open,
right.
Nobody's within That's 5 yards. Like, the catch where, like, two guys are bearing down on him and he has to adjust his body. Like, he'll make that catch. It's the catch where, like, he's beating the two guys down the seam and there's nobody within it, the same area code.
There's nobody within 20 yards, right.
Yeah, like, when he has to think about it, he's like, oh, my God, am I going to catch it? Am I going to catch it? Nope, I'm dropping it.
It's the weirdest thing. I was talking to a Panthers blogger in the offseason about this, and I'm like, so, you know, if he struggles with catching the ball, the deep ball, like, he must be a disaster. Like, he must have ball security issues in the return game, right? And the Panthers blogger was like, no, it's the weirdest thing. Like, he has no problem with the punt return game. Like, he catches it, no problem. He never drops it. This blogger was just telling me how solid he is with ball security in the return game. But it's just like, for some reason, like, it's just tracking the deep ball. I don't know. He just sometimes he struggles with it.
The Saints, they held Cam Newton to a 43 quarterback rating. The thing that was most interesting to me was, Andrew, you know, we talked about the preseason, and then the Saints came out and they got destroyed the first 2 weeks. Everybody's like, the preseason is a fraud. See, it's a fraud. It's a fraud. Never believe the preseason. But me and you were talking earlier today, and I think the point was, you know, maybe the preseason wasn't a fraud, because with the Saints, those three teams they played in the preseason, what did they all have in common? Their offensive lines were either shitty or injured, and the Saints kicked their ass. What did
the quarterback?
Yeah,
the quarterback. They were either backups or just real spotty starters.
That too, but the offensive lines were shitty. And Carolina's offensive line, not too good, and it was injured. The Saints kicked its ass. So the point that me and you were kicking back and forth is, maybe when the Saints play crappy offensive lines, they're going to have a pass rush, because their pass rush has moved from terrible to average. And it's not that great, but it feels like the Dome Patrol, because we're so used to not having it.
Yeah, I mean, they have 7 sacks now. I mean, four came from that one game. But even before, I mean, they had 3 sacks in 2 games. They had a couple against the Patriots and one against the Vikings. But, you know, I think you look at the quarterbacks. I mean, you look at Brady, you look at Bradford. I mean, those are guys, and certainly they'll see this again with Matt Ryan when they play him twice. But, you know, they're known for getting the ball out. They're high efficiency, accurate quarterbacks that get the ball out very quickly. And Cam Newton is not one of those players. You know, he's a guy that likes to let the play develop, and a lot of times he likes to hold on to it and escape the pocket and make plays. So you have opportunities to get hits on him. And I think when his offensive line is banged up, it just exacerbates it and exposes him even more. So, you know, the more you can play quarterbacks like that in general, I think the more you're going to have opportunities to sack.
Dave, is Kenny Vaccaro, is he going to, like, start being good now?
Oh, God.
Did the interception and the second half jumpstart him?
I mean, I got to be honest with you, though. That play where the Panthers guy caught it and hit the ground, and Vaccaro just barely, his hand just barely grazed the receiver while he was on the ground. The guy got up and he finished out the play, and they let him play it out, but they wound up challenging it and winning the challenge because they saw on the replay that Vaccaro had just barely touched him. But I don't understand why Vaccaro didn't just put his hands all over that guy. He just dogged it on that play.
I
have a real problem with that, and it really bothers me.
It was,
I can't
know.
Get past that.
It was, I don't know if it was dogging. It was really casual. Like, he was really certain that, like, yeah, he's down. I touched him. He's cool. Like, it was really, it was really casual.
I mean, he was just standing there. It was, I don't know.
It was really casual and really risky. But do you think he'll be on a progression of not being traded?
I mean,
depends on your definition of not trade. I mean, I think he's going to stay with the team the rest of the year. I still don't think they resign him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, is he going to be on the team the rest of the year? Yeah,
I think they'll let him walk. Oh yeah, I think he'll finish out the year.
But Yeah,
you don't agree, Dave? Don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, the thing is, especially like if they turn the corner and if they get to, you know, if they get to, we'll talk to about the game later. But if they get to 2-2 and they're nominally in the playoff hunt, if you know, at the deadline, I don't think they're moving him. You know, unless they're getting like a second round pick, and I don't think anybody's giving them a second round pick for Vaccaro.
No way.
You know,
no way.
So
Vaccaro would get back. You know, if Stephon Anthony's getting him a fifth, maybe they're getting a fourth for Vaccaro.
I think
maybe a third, best case.
Yeah, I mean, I think if a team lost a safety and was desperate, like you say, maybe a third, but nothing higher than that. Dave, the offense look good. Kamara, like, who do you think? I mean, did since they're gonna get Armstead back, they're gonna get Snead back. Does the performance against Carolina, does it make you think this offense has a lot of growth potential and can be really, really good? Or was like yesterday kind of that's as good as it's going to be, and it's going to be pretty good. But like, how did yesterday and the returning players make you feel about the offense's potential?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to be like really, really good. I mean, you know, we've seen some pretty amazing offenses over the last 10, 11 years with the Saints. I think what we've seen, you know, they got off to a slow start. They had two not good games. They have one good game now. They'll probably have another good game next week, hopefully, against the Dolphins. I think it's going to be consistently inconsistent for most of the season. I think what you're going to get is what you've been getting in recent years. They're going to be at the top, in the top five of the NFL rankings, because they race their rankings on yardage, and they're going to pile up a whole bunch of yardage on offense, but some of that might be bullshit.
Garbage time.
Yeah, garbage coming from behind, you know, playing from behind all the time. So it might not necessarily be telling that they're actually a good offense, but, you know, I think that's what you're going to have.
Andrew, where's this offense's potential, you think, when Armstead and Snead's going to be back in London?
Yeah, no, I think Armstead and Streif, don't forget Streif, you know, I mean, their offensive line, I think, can be much, much stronger.
And offensive lines
and
hey,
let's give them credit. I mean, that Carolina defensive front is excellent. And the way they blocked, the way they protected Breeze, you know, they bought him some time. You know, they run blocked. And traditionally against the Panthers, I mean, I don't know if you remember games last year and in years prior, but there have been times where the Saints have thrown every play and because they couldn't run on the Panthers at all.
They crushed Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, that's about as successful as I've ever seen the Saints be on the ground against the Panthers. So,
yeah.
You know, that, and forget Kuechly. I mean, Kuechly's a big part of it, but it's really, I mean, it's their defensive line.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
And the Saints whipped them. But one point I think I saw on Twitter that was really interesting, you know, offensive line playing the NFL sucks balls. If you watch Seattle yesterday, their offensive line is going to keep them from the playoffs. They have a bunch. The Cincinnati's, I mean, they played better, but their offensive line is. The Giants, oh my God, their line is bad. But somebody made an interesting point on Twitter, Andrew, is that the Saints, you know, people can knock Pete and you can knock Ramczyk, but the thing about them is they were the rare two offensive linemen in college, played in pro-style offenses. Wisconsin still runs a pro-style I offense, and Stanford runs a power-running pro offense. And those guys, the Saints, didn't have to coach them from scratch. And yeah, people may knock Pete and Ramczyk's a rookie, but they held up pretty damn good. And especially Ramczyk, like, he's got a lot of growth potential, I think, which is a really good sign going forward. Dave, the Carolina game, what do you think is more sustainable, the turnovers or the sacks?
Neither.
Yeah, really.
No. The answer is no.
Yeah, really and truly, to be honest with you, I don't think either is going to be sticking around for a long period of time.
I don't want to take anything away from the Saints defense, but Cam Newton was awful.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, awful.
Yeah, but I felt like the one thing I do felt I felt like he was awful, and I felt like he missed he missed three different throws where Ken Crawley got beat up the hash.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Andrew, on those throws,
that's the thing. So like Crawley's not going to be covering Devin Funchess running a go route with Cam Newton throwing to him. You know, that's not going to happen every week.
But here's the thing that was positive to me on those throws: even though Crawley got beat, the safety was in the right spot, so Cam Newton couldn't just throw it to the middle of the field and have the guy catch it like a punt that happened against Minnesota and New England. So that was at least good. Like the Saints, they kind of got some of their like mental fuck ups cleaned up. Where like so the throw that Cam Newton had to make, like it was 70% harder. And he was injured, so he couldn't make it.
They're playing kids, and I think one thing that you want to take away from this that I think is a real positive is, you know, obviously the kids are playing better. I mean, you know, they're playing a lot of kids, and Anzalone, Hendrickson, Marcus Williams. I mean, those are all guys that had plays in that game, and so you're starting to see them maybe play a little bit better. And I think that's what's so critical. You know, this defense is going to get better when the kids start playing better.
Yeah, and it's not like, I mean, Sheldon Rankins, we think of him as we're like, oh, he's in year two and he's kind of quiet. Yesterday was his 11th start.
Yeah.
You know?
He's still learning.
Onyemata. It would have been perfect yesterday if Atlanta had fucking lost, which I thought they did.
They look good again.
That was a real kick in the nuts.
Yeah, I mean, so Dave, the running game. Do you think? How do I phrase this?
You know what the Atlanta game was like this Sunday? It was like the San Francisco 49ers playoff game against us. Like those final like 2.5 minutes, it was like it was all that wrapped into one play.
It was, and the thing is, like Detroit, like I knew, like when they showed, I was like, "Fuck, he didn't get in, and they're gonna do the 10-second runoff." God damn it! And it cost me not only did Atlanta lose, but Golden Tate not getting that touchdown cost me a fantasy win. Like, it was a double fucking whammy for me personally, and I hope everyone feels my pain. Dave, I guess we've been at this for 3 weeks now, and I don't look. I know the Saints started 0-3 last year, so you can't say, well, of course they're better than, because last year they started 0-3, but last year at 0-2. How did you feel about the Saints last year at 0-2 versus this year at 1-2? Because last year at 0-2, they lost two really nut-punch games, and this year they got blown out twice, and they blew out Carolina. So 2016-2017, where are you feeling it? Who's better?
Wait, now, what were those first three games last year?
The first game was the heart-wrenching
2-point play.
Crawley had to come in because
Oakland
threw the 2-point conversion.
Yeah,
and then game two was like they kind of played awful the whole game, but the Giants kept them around until the Victor Cruz.
Oh, the Giants! That was the block field goal. Okay, got it. Yeah. I guess I feel better about this season. I mean, I honestly think that they're going to be at 2-2. I mean, the Dolphins are in pretty bad shape.
We'll get to that.
I mean, that's a must-win.
Didn't allow the Dolphins just lose to the Jets?
They did. They didn't just lose to the Jets. They got their ass handed to them.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that.
Let's not pretend for 1 minute like anything's a gimme.
I think they're going to be 2-2 heading into the bye. I was just thinking about it now while we're doing this podcast and talking about Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's a good team. They're already 3-0, so I mean, they're going to have a good record. I think this whole season, you have to beat it. They have to beat Atlanta at least once if they're going to even have a chance at making the playoffs this year. That's my whole thing. So I feel like that's awesome for the rivalry. It makes those games important, but I mean, that's where I stand on this whole season.
Well, yeah, because if they don't beat Atlanta, if they don't beat Atlanta at least once, that means they have to go 10-2 in the other 12 games because they started 0-2, and I don't see that necessarily happening. But Andrew, how do you feel about them compared to last year at this similar?
You know, I think last year I just felt like they were right there. You know, I mean, really against the Raiders. I thought they were fantastic. I mean, in the Raiders game, I thought it was great until the end. And, you know, at the time, we didn't know how good the Raiders were. I mean, we thought it was embarrassing to lose to the Raiders.
Well, the Raiders game was fine until Bro broke his leg.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, during that game, I was like, man, the Saints are playing really well. I mean, in the Giants game, they kind of played awful. Like, the fact that they were still around at the end was very fortunate, I remember feeling. But you know, at 0-2, I just kind of felt helpless. I think it's hard to lose two games like that. I think after two games this year, like I had already written off the season. Like I was fully expecting them. I was expecting them to play better against Carolina. Like, so, you know, I think I remember saying on the podcast they were going to lose like 27-24 or something. I mean, I expected the Saints to lose, but I expected it to be close. I expected them to rebound. What I didn't expect was Cam Newton to be so awful. And I definitely think that was a big part of why this game was so lopsided. But, you know, I think the Saints have some talent on defense, and I think it's just a matter of when the light comes on. And I don't think it's going to be a consistent thing. I think there's going to be a lot of peaks and valleys. I think you're going to still see some mistakes from Marcus Williams and Anzalone and some of those guys. But I just think the more reps they get and the more plays they get, they're going to build confidence. And I'm just hoping by the end of the season, this defense can maybe start to, you know, put a little more consistency together. Kind of like, I don't know if you guys remember the Bucks last year, but, you know, towards the end of the season, I think their defense really started to put it together, and they started playing really well every week, like those last 6, 7, 8 games or so. So I think you just kind of have to hope it builds like that for the Saints. But the thing is, you just can't get in these holes early. Like, you have to win these games that you're supposed to win so that you have some margin. You know, I think when you go 1-3 or 2-4, like, you have no margin anymore, and you have to win out or yet close to have any chance at the playoffs. And so I think, you know, if they're going to make a run at the end of the season, if they get better, it's just so critical that they stay hovering around 500. You know, if they can get to 3-3 or 4-3, and I just think that becomes more difficult if they lose to the Dolphins this week. So to me, that's why it's such a must win.
Yeah, well,
they kind of have to weather the storm of these young guys playing and getting better by setting themselves to still have a chance at the end of the season, if that makes sense.
Yeah, all right. I got to remind the people again about Third Wave Water. Do you ever wonder why the coffee you make at home never tastes as good as the coffee you buy at the coffee shop? Well, here's the secret. Coffee shops spend thousands of dollars to make the perfect water for coffee. And now for a little 10 cents a cup, you can duplicate the magic at home. Third Wave Water has a patent-pending formula of minerals that, when added to a gallon of distilled water, makes coffee brewing magic. Recently, at the U.S. Brewers Cup Championship, the first and second place finishers brewed their coffee with Third Wave Water. Check out their website, thirdwavewater.com, and use the promo code Saints for 10% off of your order. If you're going to order this week, tell them they need to stick with the Saints Happy Hour podcast and sign up for the whole year. They're awesome, but we'd love to have them as a sponsor the whole year. thirdwavewater.com. All right, Dave. The Saints, they
actually pause this podcast and go test it out.
Use the Saints code. We love to have a sponsor all year long. And then if you buy, go on Twitter and tweet.
Just try it once.
Yeah, just try it once. Just try it once. And tweet at Third Wave Water. Be like, I bought Third Wave Water. Boom. From Saints Happy Hour podcast. So
what's the cost? It's pretty cheap.
Yeah,
right?
It's like they have like many
10 cents a cup.
Yeah, so you can buy like their lower package for like 12, 15 bucks, and think of it
and
as
then
like
you get the discount.
Yeah, and you get the discount, so you're golden. So if you're thinking about donating, don't donate the podcast. Go to Third Wave Water, and it's like a donation, and you get your coffee tasting awesome. So Dave. The Saints had rookies make plays all over the place. Hendrickson had a sack, and he's two more sacks from him, and Brian from Saints Nation gets to control my Twitter avatar for a week. All he has to do is get 2.5 sacks for the year, and he got one yesterday. So now that bet's looking tenuous, Andrew. I was feeling rock solid about it. Now it's tenuous. So you had him, you had Marcus Williams making a pick, and you had Kamara scoring a touchdown. Who's going to be the Saints' best rookie, Dave, for the first half of the year? Not for the whole year, for the first half of the year. Who's going to be the Saints' best rookie?
I would definitely say it's going to be probably Kamara. He has the benefit of being on offense, which is, in general, always going to be more productive and always going to be the bell of the ball for the Saints. Lattimore, now he's missed some time. Hopefully, maybe he'll be back next week. But if not next week, then after that. Trey Hendrickson, I think you're still pretty good. We'll see. But I just don't feel like this game against the Panthers is, you know, the norm. I think the only thing that's going to be consistent with this team is inconsistency. And I think there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. And so you have no idea which Saints team is going to show up from week to week, I think.
Andrew, who's going to be the first half rookie of the year?
For the Saints?
Yeah.
Oof.
Knowing that Lattimore looked spectacular against New England.
Yeah, I'm still going to say Lattimore. I'm going to say Lattimore comes back pretty quickly from his injury. Maybe they hold him out this week because, you know, you have to go to London and they're not going to have access to, like, their facility and stuff. And they just probably don't want to risk it. But I still think at the end of the year it'll be Lattimore.
So I asked people to send us questions and recap the Saints win in 5 words. Andrew, this was a question for you from Rob. You asked, like, does this mean, because Darren Sproles got hurt yesterday horrifically. He broke his arm and he tore his knee. So, Andrew, is his wife's witchcraft skills diminished?
I knew it. I knew we were going to have a question about that.
I mean, I love Sproles and I hate that this happened to him. It's terrible, but, you know, any good witchcraft, any good curse, would include longevity for her husband, which up until now has really worked well. But, you know, I just have to think that, you know, he gets a double injury like this that knocks him out for the year. I mean, I'm just asking the question here, you know, is her magic starting to wear off a little bit?
It has.
You know, on the same day, Kamara gets the big touchdown run. And, you know, kind of the Sproles replacement, finally, we may have found one that's good.
Yeah.
And the Saints win a game. You know, Cam Newton throws 3 picks. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying that the Compton curse on Sunday was showing a little bit of a chink in the armor there.
Now, everything has an expiration date. Patrick says, newfound hope, London to crush. Ogles says, amazing chance for crushing letdown. You people are negative. Jesus, man. Let's see. Fuck you, Cam Newton. That's from Chris. I like that one. Let's see. 3 interceptions never happening again. This is my favorite, maybe, Andrew. This is from Freddie. We shit in Cam Newton's hat. This is from Matthew. Since we play the Dolphins this week, how about a drunk history on the 2006 Breeze free agent signing with your wife as a guest? That's a phenomenal idea.
My wife.
But my wife is pretending like the Dolphins don't even fucking exist. Like, she is just locked into the Astros baseball, and she's like, the Dolphins? I don't give a fuck about them.
Do you think there's any chance she's rooting for the Saints?
Oh, totally. Like, is it? Oh, totally. She was disgusted with the Dolphins yesterday. She's like, they're losing to the Jets. I said to her, why couldn't you save that for next week? She's like, for real. Let's play Cam every week. That's from Matthew. I like that one. I can watch TV again. Oh, this is a good question, Andrew. Will Chase Daniels have to run the victory formation for the rest of the season because Breeze won't take a knee?
I'm buying groceries, so I'm gonna have to check out. Come back in like 2 minutes.
Dave, what you answer that one. Will Chase Daniel have to run the victory formation because Breeze won't take a knee?
I mean, I'm not even answering it.
I'm going to say yes. They're going to have to bring the Chase for 3 or 4 games when they're doing victory formation. They didn't have to do it yesterday because Carolina was playing horse balls and the Saints didn't get the ball back at the end. This is from Reichert. 2012D still sucks worse. I like that one, Reichert. Thank God Olsen was out. Also good. Dave, are you a Crawley truther? That's from Matt.
So what does that mean means I think that Ken Crawley is awesome?
Yeah, like you think Ken Crawley's awesome.
I don't think he's awesome. I don't think he's gonna become like a Hall of Fame cornerback. But I think he might be better than Sterling Moore and Devontae Harris.
He's got to be better than Devontae Harris. The PJ Truthers were coming at me like White Walkers coming for Westeros. Oh, yeah. Coming for Westeros in the Game of Thrones, man. Out in full force as soon as he got that pick. Which, to be fair, that pick was an awesome play. Like, it wasn't like a tipped ball and he just was like a random dude.
It was a good read.
He read it the whole way and did it. And look, PJ Williams, like, you know. My whole thing with him on the is not that I don't think he can potentially be good. I think he might be. He had a good grade coming out of Florida State. He was a first round grade. He got the DUI and he dropped. My thing with PJ Williams is, yes, he's in his third year, but that dude's only played 4 games, including yesterday, and it's gonna take a little bit of time. And my thing was, he's practically a rookie. Like, I know he has 3 years experience. But you still got to play to get fucking better. That was my whole. That was my whole thing.
Why is Jude shopping at 10:30 at night?
Well, he's got kids, you know. You got to do what you got to do. How much money did the Falcons give the refs yesterday?
You know, I was watching it, but I wasn't really paying attention. Why was there the 10-second runoff? What was the penalty?
Because the thing is, if they review a play at the end of a game and the clock should have
been... What was the call on the field?
He was short of the goal line, he was down, right? So if they didn't review it right, the clock would have ran. So Detroit didn't have a timeout. So that rule is, if they stop the clock and review the play, the feeling is they should have a runoff because you didn't have a timeout, and if you didn't have a timeout and we didn't review it, the clock would have still been running and you wouldn't have got that playoff. So Detroit didn't have a timeout, so they got fucked. There was 8 seconds left. They did the 10-second runoff. Good night. Thanks for coming. Drive home safely. So that's why they got
screwed. But it was a touchdown, though.
But it was. But they reviewed it and they reversed it, and they said it wasn't. That's what, you know?
What was the call on the field?
A touchdown. They reversed it.
That the call on the field was that it was short. The call on the field was that it's a touchdown. But now, wait a minute. If it's a touchdown, isn't every touchdown reviewed?
Yeah, that's what it was. Every touchdown is reviewed. They reviewed it.
Why do you get a 10? No. If you do that for every touchdown, if you review every touchdown...
I'm not arguing that it was shitty. I'm just telling you that's the rule. And that's the
rule. But that doesn't make sense. That rule absolutely does not make sense. You can't be explaining this right. There's no way. When any team scores a touchdown in any situation, they review the touchdown. So yeah. If they were just reviewing the touchdown, why would anybody be penalized for a 10-second
run? Because it's the end of the game. At the last 2 minutes of the game, they do a 10-second runoff. If you do a play and they review it. And it was, and it should have been a running clock. When they
every touchdown gets reviewed, the clock stops after a touchdown.
But that's what they're saying. It wasn't a touchdown, so the clock should have been running, right? Running. They would have said it should have been. The theory is Detroit should have had fourth down. That clock should have been running. So we're going to take 10 seconds off the clock because it's not fair that that clock should have been running and the clock is now stopped and they get to line up and run a play. Detroit didn't have a timeout. Right. Detroit fucked themselves earlier by wasting a timeout. That kind of did them in. But I thought it was too close to overturn. But anyway, there's Aunt Juge. He's back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, so another five-second thing. All PJ Truthers unite. I told Dave they came at me strong on Twitter, Andrew.
Did they?
They did. They had to give.
Even I texted you.
Yeah.
You did.
They were coming at me, man.
He did have an incredible play on the pick. He also had horrific coverage later in the game, you know. So he's a work in progress.
He's almost
let's put down the anointing water. I know he made a good play, but like, you know, he's got a ways to go. I don't know if you guys, I know we mentioned Crawley, but one quick thing I've been meaning to say about him, you know, I know the reason he hasn't played is I think the Saints felt like, okay, well, Lattimore and PJ are our starters, and Devontae, you know, we like what he can do in the slot, and we don't really feel like, you know, Crawley is an outside corner, you know, with his size, and we don't really feel like he's a good, you know, quick twitch nickel guy, so we don't want him in the slot. But I think now that we've seen, you know, what Devontae Harris looks like, and, you know, Crawley has a game like that, I think moving forward, Lattimore and PJ, maybe they're still your starters, but I think when you get into the nickel packages, I think you just have to, I mean, I know that PJ has played nickel before in the slot and he can do it. I'm sure Lattimore can. But I think that, you know, if Crawley can only play outside, then that's where he needs to play when he comes in. And maybe he's still the third corner, but, you know, their packages basically kick him outside and kick one of the other guys inside when he comes in. But that's what they're going to have to do moving forward.
The answer to any question for the Saints defense is, what do we have to do to keep Devontae Harris off the field? What we'll do.
For sure. But, you know, like the old adage with offensive line, and Sean Payton has said this before, we're going to play the five best guys. So, you know, I mean, and it's been that way with Andres Pete and Sedinho Calamete. It's like, hey, it's less about who's playing where, and it's more about getting our five best guys on the field. Well, I kind of think that applies right now with Ken Crawley. Like, yeah, it's not ideal that he's a backup and he can't really play the slot, but, you know, you need your best cover guys out there. And if it means forces PJ Williams or Lattimore into the slot in some instances, then that's what it's got to be.
Yeah. Do you think the Seahawks would trade Jimmy Graham for Bryce Harris?
Well, considering that we just released Bryce Harris, if they really want him, they can just put a waiver claim.
So, let's see other questions.
They'd probably trade Graham for Calamete, though.
Oh, dude. I'd want a draft pick, though. I'd want Graham and a draft pick, because Graham's kind of banged up right now.
Seriously, if the Seahawks offered Graham for Calamete right now, you know, and it basically puts, you know, another hole on the offensive line for the Saints, you'd have to start, like, Landon Turner.
No, I wouldn't do it. I think the Saints are fine. Like Fleener's fine at tight end. Like, I wouldn't... Offensive line.
Realistically, Graham is not coming back. I think there were too many bridges burned there. I don't think that's happening.
Yeah,
Dave, how much better would the Saints' offense be if AP was phased out and Kamara Ingram were featured?
That's a good question.
I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it.
I feel like AP was okay.
Let's find out.
I feel like AP was okay yesterday, Andrew. And I feel.
Did you?
Yeah, I feel
interesting.
I thought he was good. Yesterday was the first time I wasn't like, yeah.
And they ran
he's
some.
Got no, he's got nothing left, but he doesn't have the burst, but he's powerful. And you know, if he hasn't had one of these runs yet where he's kind of at the second level, but he can run over a corner, and then he can get 20, 25 yards.
Yeah.
He's so strong.
Yeah, and the thing is, they ran a couple plays. Adrian Peterson in the single back, and they had the three tight ends, and they ran a play fake to him and like one of them slip screens to Josh Hill. It was magnificent, and it got called back on a penalty. So like they can still, like, teams still fear Adrian Peterson. Maybe they shouldn't, but they still kind of do. So the Saints
Peterson, the package that Sean Payton had when Brandon Coleman caught that touchdown. You know, it was, I think they had three tight ends in, or maybe two tight ends, and it was a run look. And Peterson's in the game, and so, you know, teams are obviously thinking, all right, Peterson's in the game. It's going to be a run. And, you know, Coleman is the kind of the blocking receiver, so the formation was a huge tell that the ball was going to Peterson. And Coleman got behind the corner and was just wide open for an easy touchdown. Yeah. So, you know, say what you will. I mean, part of it was the formation, but the fact that Peterson was in the game set up that touchdown perfectly. So, you know, like you said, the fact that he's even on the field, teams respect it. And, you know, even if he's not touching the ball, it's making an impact on the game.
So, all right. So we haven't touched on the anthem brouhaha nonsense and all. It's not nonsense, but it's just, it's crazy. And we're going to touch on it now before we get to the prediction of the game. And here's my only thing with the anthem is, if you were one of these people, and I kind of was too, is like, stick to sports. I don't want politics in my sports, and just try to keep it out. I just want to escape into my sports and not worry about politics. If you were one of those people, dude, when Trump did what he did on Friday night, that was like a nuclear bomb on stick to sports. Stick to sports is dead and gone forever, and you just have to adjust your life, because the anthem, who sits, stands, kneels, it's going to be like 60% of all pregame shows for the next 14 weeks, and you're just going to have to fucking adjust your life accordingly, because Trump just, it was about
yeah,
to...
Yeah, if you can't deal, then maybe you should stop watching.
Well, not you can watch the games, just pregame and postgame is going to drive you nuts. But here's the thing, like, I feel like, Andrew, like, we were almost done with it. Like, the only time it was going to come back up is when a quarterback got hurt, and people were going to be like, "You should sign Kaepernick because the backup quarterback sucks." And you're like the Colts, where they have Scott Colzine playing, you know, and you need to sign Kaepernick, and it would have come up then. But besides that, it wasn't going to be an issue, and it was almost done. And Trump just like walked out and like threw 7 gallons of gasoline on it and like reignited it. That's my only thing. So your thoughts on it before we get to the game predictions?
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, I think it's tough because I think from both sides, you know, everyone has a different perspective. And I think it's easy to get to a place where, you know, you're judging others and, you know, there's only one side, and it's either, you know, you're either behind us or you're against us. And you know, there's no middle ground. But, you know, listen, I think, first of all, we're not black, you know, we didn't grow up in poor neighborhoods, and we haven't been oppressed by racism, and we don't live that every day. And I mean, I have an idea what that's like, but I don't know what it's like. And so, you know, I think for them to want to raise awareness and to do it this way, you know, Scott Fujita kind of had, I think, an insightful comment that, you know, yes, in some ways it's controversial, and some people think it's offensive to kneel during the anthem or whatever. But, you know, I think it's less offensive to those people than what they have to go through. And so I think when you look at it through that lens and their perspective, trying to put yourself in their shoes, I don't see how you can judge them. You know, on the other hand side, I mean, I don't think you can judge Drew Brees. I mean, I was seeing him getting murdered on Twitter by people just for, you know, having his beliefs. And look, he's a guy that cares greatly about the military, has a ton of family. And, you know, listen, I know he's white and he's privileged and, you know, he's got a different perspective. But at the end of the day, he's a guy that cares a lot about the flag and he cares a lot about the anthem. And, you know, that doesn't mean he's racist. It doesn't mean that he doesn't think that the cause is justified. Just, you know, it's just the method. And, you know, I think it's like religion, you know, or anything else. You know, you can't judge someone based on their beliefs. And I think it was total bullshit that Brees was getting called out and criticized on the other side. So, you know, I think it's all about respecting people's views and you know, we're going to defer. We're going to have different perspectives on it. And that's just what it is.
Dave, your thoughts?
I think it's good. I think it's good that the conversation's happening, though.
Yeah, Dave, your thoughts on it. And then we'll...
Well, what conversation is happening, Andrew? I mean...
Well, I will say this. I think the waters are getting murkied, and I think the fact that it's been done during the anthem and that the fact that it's disrespectful to the flag, I think has really distracted us from the whole point of why they're doing this. And so I do think the conversation is somewhat confused And you know, while I think they wanted it to be shocking and provoking so that it would get attention, I think in some ways it's backfired maybe a little bit because all the side stuff.
And they're not really
which confuses the issue.
They're not really organized in a sense of each team will decide whether they want to sit or stand. But they don't have like an overarching message where like all the people that say kneel for the anthem with the Steelers and kneel with it, they don't all say the same thing. Like it's different. It's different. I'm kneeling for the social justice. I'm kneeling for the, and it doesn't yeah. resonate because like they're not organized and they don't like they need to like have a meeting and like get on the same page and like say like when the media ask you like this is what you need to say, but like they can't agree. Maybe they couldn't agree. But here's the thing. Like the one thing that bothers me and then we'll move on to some of this is. Like, a lot of the sports talking heads, like these football talking heads, they are not equipped to talk about politics well. Some of them do it well, like Ryan Clark. I saw him do it today. He did it really well. But other people are just fucking terrible at it. Like, they don't know. They're just not good at it. And look, a lot of people, how many people do you know that are can talk about 6 and 7 different subjects really well? I can't. You know, so I think that's what bothers me. Like, you see these pregame shows, and you see these guys. You're like, what are you saying? You're not even making fucking sense. Like, some people need to not talk about this. Like, some people just need to stick to the games.
Not because
I'm not saying certain people need to stick to the games because the issue's not important. They need to stick to the games because they can't articulate what. This means and what it can be and all that. They just can't do it well. And that's what drives me nuts about the pregame show. Like, I would say like 3 or 4 of the people on ESPN should have just shut the fuck up. Like, they just didn't need to be talking about it because they weren't good at articulating it. And it wasn't a position or race. It was white guys. It was like, they're just not good at it. Like Rex Ryan, Rex Ryan. He wasn't really that great at it. Like, he just kind of mumbled and, like, supported Trump, blah, blah, blah. Like, it just wasn't great. But anyway, all I'm saying is get used to it because it ain't going away now. You're just going to have to.
Thanks, Obama.
Oh, my God. So, look, the Saints for the first time this year, Dave, they're going to London. They are the road team. It's an 8:30 a.m. kickoff.
Yeah, that's so weird. Are we excited about that? Central, your time.
I am not. I was working on my.
We're having breakfast. We're gonna have breakfast.
I said that in my Channel 4 column. I am not.
Mimosas?
I don't really like. I'm not a big Bloody Mary guy.
And yeah, I was gonna say, are you guys more mimosa or Bloody Mary?
I'm more mimosa guy. So it's gonna. Yeah, that's the way to go. Be. But here's the thing, like, I like to fire up the grill and eat horrible food. I'm not feeling this 8:30 kickoff, Dave, but the Saints are a 2.5-point favorite, and the Dolphins are a fucking mess. So, I mean, they are. Their line is a mess. They're missing receivers. Their secondary is probably, it's pretty close to as bad a shape as the Saints, maybe worse, because they lost a bunch of corners in the preseason too, and the first week or so. So they're kind of a mess, and they haven't been home. The hurricane, they got all that going against them. So, but they're a 2.5-point. The Saints are a 2.5-point favorite. Dave, your thoughts on the morning kickoff, and then your prediction for the game.
Well, you know, if I was like 26, if I was 10 years younger, I'd be really. I'd be really pissed off about this early kickoff. But now that I'm older and I have 2 kids, and by 8:30 I'll already have been up for an hour and a half. It's fine.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. It's actually good because I don't know whether you guys feel this way, but, you know, when you wake up that early with your kids or whatever, there's that period of time of 2.5, 3, 4 hours or whatever that you just on the weekends where they're not going to school, where you just have to like find shit to do until like until the rest of the city wakes up and opens their businesses at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. So this is good because this is at 8:30. So this fills that void very nicely. And, you know, you wake up and okay, yeah, hey, so the Saints game
is
on.
Let's be honest here, Dave. It's not like the kids. I mean, maybe your son, my son, you know, is definitely watching it, and maybe your son is too, but like, it's not like the kids are really into the Saints game. It's not like they're like hanging on to every second. So really what
they know they have to leave me alone for 3 minutes.
Right. There's now a built-in convenient excuse for you to check out while it's understood that your wife deals with the kids.
See, I can't.
That's really what's going on.
I don't really check out with my kid. I have to entertain him and watch the Saints game. But I've got some things that he really that he likes to do. Like I throw the sheet over.
Sounds like an iPad day.
It's a little bit of iPad, but I feel like I can't give him iPad for 3 hours. So I like throw the sheet over his head, and he likes that. And you know, I put him in the little buggy, and I'm going around in a circle. He's got the thing where he can spin himself in a circle. So he got some stuff to do. But so, Dave, what's your prediction on the game, though? As we give out horrible parenting tips.
Anyway, so you know, I think we're gonna have we were gonna invite some people over, maybe other people that have kids or whatever, and maybe cook breakfast, but I don't even know if we're doing that anymore. I think it would just be us. But prediction for the game, definitely Saints ought to win this one. You know, assuming they play as even remotely close to as well as they did this past weekend. You know, and like you've said before, the Dolphins are kind of a mess. I was listening to WWL this afternoon on the way home, and they had their beat writer as a guest with Bobby and Deke, and he was he did not have a lot of nice things to say.
There was even the possibility of
Matt Moore maybe even coming in, because apparently who's the coach, Adam Gase?
Yeah.
Apparently he said, you know, they're going to make some personnel changes, so they're going to be shuffling stuff around trying to figure out what they're going to do. So you know, I'll say I'm going to say Saints 29.
Ooh, that's a weird number.
I know. Dolphins 17.
Who's the MVP?
So another kind of comfortable, like, what? So 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and we'll know the game's already in the bag.
Hopefully.
Like last week.
Hopefully.
Oh,
yeah.
God, that'd be beautiful.
What the hell? I'll say Willie Snead.
God damn it! You stole my guy.
So Andrew, what do you got?
God. I thought I was gonna sound so smart. Yeah. Like, I thought you guys had forgotten that Snead was coming back, and I was gonna drop that.
I had forgotten about Snead until today.
Andrew,
your thoughts on the 8:30 kickoff, and then your.
I love going first.
Prediction of the game.
I'm good with 8:30, honestly. You know, I just feel like it's different, and you know, I'm always up for a change of the routine, and I'll be honest, I just don't like the night games anymore. I mean, the advantage of the night games, Dave, I think you'll agree, is that your kids are asleep, so you can really focus on the game without distractions. I mean, my kids know, like, same time is daddy time, and stay away. But still, you know, I think there's night games are nice for that, but like, you know, for bedtime, man, I can't stay up that late anymore. And, you know, just now that I'm not doing the grades anymore, I might start to enjoy night games.
I think you will.
You know, I used to feel so much pressure to do those grades. So I'd stay up and I'd be going to bed at 3.
And then
I'd go to work, you know, at 8, you know, so I'd get, you know, night games are always terrible for sleep, but
Jesus, maybe
I like them more now. But anyway, I just think I basically feel like when I wake up on Sundays, you know, it's like 7 a.m. and I'm like, all right, you know, here in Virginia, the game starts at 1 o'clock. So I basically have what, like 6 hours to kill before the Saints game. I'm basically biding my time. I'm like thinking about the Saints game, excited about it. And I'm like, how am I going to get past these next 6 hours until the game's here? So, you know, the fact that I'll be able to wake up at 7, it's usually about when my kids wake up. And, you know, basically I'll have a couple hours before the game goes on. I don't know. That's an exciting prospect. So I'm looking forward to it.
you know, as far as, and then I have the rest of the day, right? So like once the game ends, yeah, that's the other thing. When the games end at 4 o'clock, you know, it's like an hour and a half till dinner maybe.
Yeah.
And then your day is kind of killed. So, you know, this game will be over like around 12:30, around lunchtime for me. And then I'll have the rest of the day to do whatever I want, which is kind of nice. So, as far as the game's concerned, I think it's going to be a shootout. I think the defense maybe comes back down to reality a little bit. I think Cutler is going to surprise us, mostly because the Saints defense is still pretty spotty. You know, they didn't play well against the Jets, but let's not forget they have Jay Ajayi, who's a great running back. You know, their receivers are pretty scary. You get Devontae Parker. I think Kenny Stills, you know, is probably going to score a couple touchdowns against this, let's be honest. And, you know, and Jarvis Landry. So, you know, the offense has playmakers. I'm going to say 38-34. It's going to be a shootout. I was going to say Willie Snead, but Dave is
stole your
a dick. So I'm going to go with Mark Ingram. I think Mark Ingram is going to have over 100 yards. I think he's going to have two big runs. We'll say over 100 yards and two touchdowns for Ingram. Yeah, Saints win a shootout, 38-34. So we won't feel great because the defense is kind of back down to earth. But
fuck you, I'd feel awesome. That,
yeah, we'll just like, you know what, two and two. I'll take it.
Two and two means they go into October for the first time since 2013 with their season not staring into the abyss. Yeah. God, I would take. I'll take the Giant game 52-49 from a couple of years ago. I don't care.
I do think Willie Snead is going to have a good game though, and here's the main reason why. I think he's been missing practice, so you know I think that might be the challenge with getting you know the practice time in, especially since they're not going to be in New Orleans and. You know, can he acclimate to the game plan quickly?
Yeah.
But if there's one thing Sean Payton loves, it's he knows that there's not going to be any tape on Snead this year. And so they're going to have to go back to tape from last year to watch Snead and what the offense did with him. But it's completely different now because they have Kamara and they have Peterson. Mm-hmm. You know, the offense is just different. So I think Sean Payton is going to find creative ways to get Snead involved, and they're not going to expect it because it's not on tape. And I think he's going to have the element of surprise and, you know, with the lack of preparation for the Dolphins. And I think he's going to use that to his advantage.
Yeah.
With Snead.
Side note, my wife is going to murder, kill the entire Rangers team. The pitcher just hit Altuve in the wrist and he got taken out.
My wife.
And she was like throwing shit around. If you don't follow baseball, that'd be like the equivalent of the Saints being 13-2 and Breeze getting injured the last week of the year.
Because the opponents are going full Greg Williams on him.
Yeah, probably because the Rangers hate the Astros. This game. I'm not a big fan of the 8:30 kickoff. I'm gonna have to do mimosas and so, I'll be up. So I'm gonna make some exotic breakfast item like cream cheese stuffed French toast or some shit like that.
Oh wow.
So I'm gonna do that. It's gonna be fun though because my wife is going out of town for she's running a wedding in Los Angeles. So my wife is gone. My mom is coming to help me with Max. My mom will be here for the game. So that'll be fun.
My mom.
So it'll be fun. So I'm going to say, look, the Saints haven't turned the ball over in three games. That shit's not going to last.
Like, that's amazing.
That, you know, like it's the first time Drew Brees has gone like three games without.
Thanks Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, thanks, Luke. So that's not going to last. So the Saints are going to turn the ball over, but it doesn't necessarily mean they'll lose. I mean, if it's even, or they can still win the turnover battle like 2-1.
Don't tell me this is one of the biannual Drew Brees turnover binge.
No, it's not going to be. It's not going to be a turnover binge game, but it's going to be clunky. Like the Saints, they're going to have a turnover, which will help Miami, and their defense is going to be. It's not going to be as good as it's. Was against Carolina, but it's not going to be as bad as New England. It's going to be like a mix. It's going to be like some good and some really fucking awful all mixed in. But Will Lutz will bail the Saints
out. You know, Cutler hasn't had a real turnover bench game either.
No, he has not.
He's kind of due.
We need to give. We need to give. London needs to experience the "I don't give a fuck. I just threw three interceptions" face from Jay Cutler. Like, we really need to see that. Or like they put in Matt Moore,
smoking Jay.
They put in Matt Moore and Cutler is on the sideline, like looking like he could give less of a
smoking fuck. A cigarette,
smoking a cigarette, and could give less of a fuck that they just pulled him out of the game. But I'm gonna say Saints 30, Dolphins 27. Will Lutz is gonna bang one in from like 40 something yards, and the Saints will get to 2-2 and will feel phenomenal. Your MVP is going to be Brandon Coleman is going to score twice, and he's going to do the 1968 Olympic homage fist in the air celebration two more times, and it's going to drive a certain segment of the Saints fan population totally fucking batshit insane. They won't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah, the black power salute has kind of been way under the radar, by
it
the way.
Is. And it,
I feel like Coleman, I mean, got away with that because of everything else that's going on. Like, people are just picking what they're deciding to be pissed off about. Yeah. You know, they're kind of cherry picking, but like, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't offend me or anything. I was surprised that like that kind of just happened.
It slid under the radar. You know what, Brandon? Yeah. If you score three times and you do it three times on the game that all of America will be watching next Sunday morning, it'll get noticed. And I am here.
Well,
here for it.
He can do it. He can do it every time the Saints get a first down, as far as I'm concerned.
I am for it, Brandon. You knock yourself out. So I'm going to say that 30-27 Saints 2-2, and they have the bye week, so we can enjoy when the Saints win, we'll get to enjoy two straight weeks of uncontrolled delusional optimism of 2-2. So that's it. So that wraps up the podcast. Go to Third Wave Water and purchase some water. Use the code Saints and tell them to be a sponsor the rest of the year. You can find Dave and Andrew and me on the Twitters talking about the Saints. So until next week, the bar is closed.